Hello and a very warm welcome to our weekly podcast, The World Outside. I'm Maha Siddiqui. The standoff at the line of actual control between India and China in eastern Ladakh continues, and amidst this, there are now reports of Chinese construction at the Arunachal border. What is China up to? Let's try and understand that with Professor S.D. Muni, who's joining us on the podcast this week. Many thanks, Professor Muni, for speaking with us. The first question, Professor Muni, is with regards to the Ministry of External Affairs statement, which says that this construction is happening at the border. But satellite imagery suggests that it's 4.5 kilometers inside India. Has this area in Upper Subansiri district been disputed, sir?
Well, this is disputed for a long time. This is a part of the disputed region between India and China. I think in first time the Chinese took over this region in 59. And then they carried it forward in 1962. In 62, we all agreed that, okay, 20 kilometers, we go back. So both of us, India and China, went back. But the Chinese have built roads there. They have built the village now, but they had their roads and mobility even in the disputed area. And we had done very little of infrastructure.
So, but the question over here is that since India still marks it as its own territory in the Indian map, shouldn't this issue be taken up with China?
See, this issue is taken, it is marked as Indian because of the McMahon line. The McMahon line of 1914 is not acceptable to the Chinese. The Chinese have accepted the McMahon line in relation to settling their border with Myanmar. But when it comes to the Indian side, they say we don't accept this is an imperial line at all. Therefore, the whole region becomes disputed. Now, in our assumption, the dispute or disputed region is beyond or along the McMahon line. For the Chinese, that's not important at all. Secondly, I must tell you that the McMahon line was drawn on the map with a very thick nib. As a result, the line leaves almost 20 to 30 kilometers in dispute anywhere as to where it belongs to, because the line from the map was never translated on the ground. So this is inherently a dispute built into the line and the way the British managed it. And they were very casual and very ambiguous deliberately, because they thought they would make their adjustments with China in order to control or contain Soviet push southwards. They had their own strategic reasons, whatever. Therefore, the area remains in dispute.
But, sir, the question here is that piece by piece, China seems to be moving towards the Arunachal side, and Arunachal is anyway a very tricky affair for, India as well, considering that China doesn't even recognize it as Arunachal Pradesh. In that context, why is there a hesitation on part of India to take up this issue with China rather than putting out a statement suggesting that this infrastructure development is happening on the border? I mean, aggressive infrastructure on the border is also a matter of concern, isn't it, sir?
No, it should be. I think, the ministry's problem is that wherever it is not in control, in physical control, because this is a region which the Chinese have been under keeping a control on it for a very long time, even before they built this village. And this is a gap in our vigilance, so to say, in terms of our intelligence, in terms of our own. Now, we had a post in Longju. When they pushed us down, we, I think, brought it to Maro or some village, which is almost 8 to 10 kilometers down from the what we thought was the Longju-McMahon line position. So we vacated that area. And it is unfortunate that not only we are not asserting it, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I keep complaining that Prime Minister Modi has had two great informal summits with President Xi. And I don't know, nobody knows whether these red lines, which the Chinese are repeatedly crossing and violating, have been raised with the Chinese. I mean, what kind of a bonhomie we are building through this informal diplomacy if your vital interests are overlooked?
In the case of Arunachal Pradesh specifically, we have also seen that China had tried to claim one territory in Bhutan, one wildlife sanctuary, which is very close to Tawang. are all these moves of China connected?
No, the Chinese moves are connected. One country, you must include one more country, that is Nepal. They have also built similar villages on the border of Nepal, similar villages on the border of Bhutan, and they have built similar villages on border with India. Now, I may remind you that in 2005, India and China signed an agreement which laid down the parameters of, political guidelines as to how we will resolve our border. There is one sentence there, I think Article, I remember exactly, Article 7th, which says that in settling the border, we will take in account the presence of people on the border. Now, on our side, we have, Maro village and all other villages. We have lot of habitation on our side of the border. The Chinese have had no habitation either in the Himalayas or even along the McMahon line in any significant ways. And I have a feeling that they are building it in order to strengthen their legitimacy and their claim on the land. If they follow this agreement, I don't know they will follow, because the Chinese can change their stance at any time. If they follow their agreement, they can show that, look, we also had villages and we had the people living there.
Hmm.
Secondly, the villages are also necessary for logistic support to the PLA. Again, as we had villages, we have not structure. They have built the infrastructure, but there are no people around. So I think they are filling in this gap, this tactical strategic gap which existed, in order to strengthen their legitimacy and their claims on what they think belongs to them.
And Professor Muni, now while we are seeing this activity happening during the winters at the Arunachal border, there is a pause for the moment in eastern Ladakh in the LAC situation. But what do you predict will happen post the winters? Because we are still in a standoff situation in eastern Ladakh.
Well, I don't think they are going to vacate the areas in which they are sitting. Let me tell you something. In 1959, when Chuen Lai offered the or made the swapping proposal, in which Chuen Lai said, okay, you keep Arunachal, we accept your claim on, at that time we used to call it Nifa, you claim Arunachal, and we leave Aksai Chetvila. Now, in my calculation, they had put greater strategic value on Aksai, because that links them up firstly with the POK and make the whole Karakoram range more under their control. And secondly, they feel vulnerable both in Xinjiang and Tibet. And Aksai Chin is almost like a dagger in the border and Tibet. And that's why they built a road in Aksai Chin. So strategically, in my understanding, they give greater value to Aksai Chin. And I have always been saying that they would not budge an inch in that area. They start building the road when we were not even aware of the strategic significance of that field in way back in 56, 57.
Hmm.
And we got to realize it in 58. And now they are not going to leave it, because it is a very vital road for them, Xinjiang with Tibet, which are turbulent and vulnerable peripheries of China. So we must keep it in mind. And I can see any consequence, the Chinese going to any length to defend their positions there. So we have to keep our fingers crossed, and unfortunately all this region is now in close proximity with Pakistan. And after Prime Minister Modi and Amit Shah making the claims that we want to reclaim both POK and Aksai Chin, has alerted the Chinese far more seriously. Not that they were not alerted, and now we are backing it up with infrastructure. So the Chinese are taking us, I think, more seriously than what we might be planning, that we are going to reclaim, or we are going to assert our claims on that. Mm. And they will not surrender their claims on this area. So this is really a hot spot for Asia, and particularly between India, China and Pakistan.
Mm.
And that's why our generals are repeatedly talking about the two-front war, which is a reality.
Mm.
It cannot be ruled out, though it may be a 10% possibility or whatever.
Professor Muni, what we are seeing currently is that on any such issue with regards to China, it's becoming a political issue in India and a fight between the Congress and the BJP rather than a concerted effort being made to take up the matter with China. Do you think that politics is harming the diplomatic maneuvers to tackle China?
To some extent, but listen, I mean, you go back to Nehru period, you go back to Indira Gandhi period, the border issue has always been brought to politics. Even during Nehru's time, the whole China question was hotly debated within the party. And there were shots. I mean, people now refer to Sardar Patel's letter, which is of course 50. But even when it was brought to, and when Nehru followed what you call the forward policy, in which they say it led to the 1962 conflict, the issues were debated. So when it is a question of national interest and national security, the opposition will raise questions on the government. The problem these days is that, and that is purely my understanding, that government is not enough consulting with the opposition on these sensitive national security issues. And I think the approach should be made where any such issue which relates to vital national interest and national security, the government should call opposition, take them on in confidence, look, this is what it has happened, and this is what we are going to do, and that would drastically reduce the cantankerous politics which has entered into these issues.
All right. Sir, related question I'd like to ask you with regards to Nepal. Nepal's foreign minister was in India for the Joint Commission meeting, and India made it clear that the JCM will not include boundary talk. Although Nepal was very keen on that, and India has had issues in the recent past with Nepal claiming 3 Indian territories in its map. Why is it that India does not want to discuss that issue separately and wants to keep it only for boundary talk?
No, because the boundary is not the part of the joint commission issue. You know, joint commission issue has trade and education and medical health or whatever else it is. It is just a technical approach to that. Secondly, India has had a group to discuss the border issue separately, which had settled all the border issues except for 2 points. One in the Susta region, and another one is this Kalapani region, and on which the groups continued to talk until 2007-2008. And after that, it was decided that we are not reaching around. I think in 2014 or so, they again started talking, and then came the COVID when the talks were stopped. So there were talks going on parallel in a different channel. So I think Government of India's position is more formal. And they say that since this is not a subject for the Joint Commission, we cannot bring it. Secondly, now Nepal has already moved too forward unilaterally by making constitutional support for their new map. They have drawn the new map, this and that. So, if I were in MEA, I would say, okay, then what is it which is left to talk? Because you have decided unilaterally and you want us to accept it. You have not even taken the facts which we have with us into cognizance and not decided. And then the earlier discussions were only on the 60 square kilometer area, which is called Kalapani. There is some dispute there. Now the Nepalese new maps have actually covered 380 to 400 square kilometers. So they have extended their range and region for the territory has always been in control of India. So there are lot of technical issues why I think India would not want it to discuss as a routine matter in joint commission meeting.
So one final question. Both Nepal and India quote the Sogoli Treaty as being the benchmark for this area near Lipu Lake and the other three territories, Limpiadura and Kalapani. How is it that the same treaty is giving a different impression of which land belongs to which country?
This is a more complicated matter. Is that the British drew their treaties, agreements, and lines without any serious work done on the ground? So when the treaty was signed, it was written that the east of the Kali River belongs to Nepal, west of the Kali River belongs to India. It was not clearly indicated which is the origin of the Kali. Kali River has tributaries and there is somebody. And secondly, no surveys were conducted. Thirdly, the maps were not exchanged at the time of the treaty. The maps have been exchanged much later. And there are conflicting evidences both with Nepal and within. Here the British letters and maps or whatever else it is, showing different positions of Kali River. So there are problems which are inherited by India from the colonial period. Now British, the Nepalese were not under the colonial period, but they only refer to the 1816 treaty. They don't refer to many other, in fact even 1816 treaty, I have gone very deeply into that, continued to be negotiated until 1850. So it took a lot of time and lot of territory in the Tarai was added under the umbrella of the same treaty and given to the Nepalese, because Nepalese said, we are giving you a lot of territory which we have won, which was largely due to war and all that. So there are many other complicated issues which the Nepalese side is not addressing, and it is because of these complicated issues that from 1816 until 1980, the Nepalese never raised these issues. So almost for 200 years or 150 years, the Nepalese were quite happy with what the situation was. And suddenly, later on, after 80, they started talking about it.
Hmm.
But in between 1962 also, there are military posts. And we have this military post since 1962 in that area, which they never objected to that.
Hmm.
So there are problems on both the sides, and I think it's a complicated issue. It cannot simply be referred to the 1816 treaty, and as the Nepalese are saying, it is 1860 treaty, so it belongs to us.
All right. Professor Muni, many thanks for speaking with us on our podcast, The World Outside.